I want to say a big thank you to a couple people. The women's retreat or conference, retreat's overnight, I think, right? Conference was this weekend. I have nothing but great things. It was a great success. Michelle and Kathy for coming from Arkansas and helping put that on. Thank y'all very much. A tremendous job, I have heard. My wife, Carla, for helping to get it together and everything, and Marianne Booker as well for helping her a lot, and I'm sure there's others that were very much involved with that, but I heard nothing but amazing things. I know it was really encouraging and inspirational, and I think at least six different churches, area churches, people from different area churches were together and worshiping together and everything. So that's a beautiful picture. So we're very blessed that that happened and thankful to God for everything that was took place during that time. The late, great Ronnie Van Zant, not sure if many of you are familiar with him or not, lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd. He had some words said, don't ask me any questions. He said, don't ask me no questions, and I'll tell you no lies. And he has a song about, when he goes out on the road and he comes back home, he doesn't want to talk about life on the road. But he says, if you want to talk fishing, I guess that'll be all right. And, we can talk fishing with him. So we're going to talk fishing this morning. I'm going to take a page out of Ronnie Van Zant's book. We're going to talk about fishing. Our sermon this morning is Peter and the Fish, not to be confused with Jonah and the Whale. All right, Peter and the Fish. And I thought, man, I wish I had a good fishing story to start and open up. And I don't. I'm not a big fisherman. I mean, I've been fishing before. I've caught some little perch and I've caught a couple flounders and trout. But I'm not a big fisher whatsoever. But one time, this is an interesting fishing story. I was in Galveston, there in the surf. And sometimes you see the fish jump when they're trying to maybe elude danger or something. Well, a fish jumped. And he jumped right at me, and I saw him coming, and he skimmed my face like this. The fish jumped out of the water and hit me in the face. Fortunately, not dead on. I think that could inflict some damage. I don't know how big the fish was. I think it was like this big, maybe, but he hit me in the face. And the rest of the day, I could smell the fish. All right? It wasn't until I got home and actually finally took a shower that the fish smell went away. That's my only good fishing story that I have. So there's your intro into this sermon. So we're going to talk about Peter and the fish, and that's fish plural, by the way, not fishies. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we have a story of what Stanley just read for us. And I like this. I like, Mark has his version, and it's real short and concise. And I'll make a small point here, and then we'll move on. So this is Mark's version of this story, 14 through 20 of chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And so you read Mark's account of this story. It's like Jesus is walking along. He says, hey, y'all, come with me. And they're like, okay, let's go. And then, James and John, y'all come with me too. And like, let's go. You're going to be fishers of men now. And they left everything. And that's how it happened. But then when you give, you keep running through the Gospels, you get to Luke in chapter 5 there. What Stanley just read for us, you get more of the story, right? You get a bigger picture of how that happened, what played out there. And we're going to kind of go through briefly what Stanley just read, but it just makes you think. You read a story, you read an account in one of the Gospels, and there may be a whole lot more in there that we're not getting to see. The author's wanting us to get a certain point or maybe a few points, and we're getting that. But there could have been a whole lot more. When you get to the end of the Gospel of John, John says, man, I mean, if we were to write down all the awesome things Jesus did, all the miracles he performed, like there wouldn't be enough pages, is what he says. We couldn't write it all down. And there's so much that Jesus did, and man, I want to be great one day to hear the rest of the stories, I guess, right? But we got some good ones, and we got the best one, no doubt about it. So in Luke chapter 5, we get this same a story, but just kind of expanded, right? We get the little details in there. So you got Peter and James and John and these guys, and they've been fishing, right? So in verse 2, we see Jesus, he saw that at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen, right? They've come in. So imagine this, Peter and James and John and Andrew, like they've been fishing all night. They come in and they're cleaning their nets and things like that. And so Jesus comes along, he sees the two boats. Well, there's a lot of people there and they're crowding them around. So he gets in one of the boats and asks Simon, Peter, says, push out a little bit into the water. You know, if he's standing on the edge and the waters are all behind him, he can't go any further. The people are crowding all around him. He gets in the boat, pushes out a little bit. Now he has like a little stage, right? People can gather around. More people can hear what he has to say. The Bible says in verse 3 of Luke chapter 5 that he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Have you ever been taught from a boat? I mean, think about that, right? Jesus, wherever he went, it wasn't that he just could only go into the synagogue. He would teach people from a boat. I think that'd be a lot cooler. I think next week, maybe we should go down. Jim, you got a boat or something. We can, you know, let's go. Try to do church that way. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, who knows how long this had been, he told Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So they're probably in the shallow area, right? Put out in the deep water and I don't know about Peter. I'm wondering. I'm sure he was hanging on Jesus' words. But at the same time, he had to be pretty tired. He'd come in from fishing, right? But he says, now put out. Let's go fishing again, Peter. Let's go fishing. And of course, Peter, he says in verse 5, Master, we've worked hard all night. Like, there's no fish out there right now. That's the reason why we're in here. If there was fish out there, we'd have been out there. But we came back in because we couldn't catch anything. We worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. I love that obedience of Peter. Without even fully knowing who Jesus is yet, right? Just on what Jesus has taught so far. Maybe on some things he's heard about Jesus. He's willing to say, I don't think it's going to work. I've already tried. But simply because you said so, I'm going to do it. Church, I mean, I could stop the sermon. I'm not. Don't get your hopes up. I can stop the sermon right here, right, and say, church, if we did that, you're right. You know, I don't think that's going to work. We tried something like that in the past. I don't think that's going to work anymore. If we just said, you know what, Jesus, we're going to do what you say, whether we think it's going to work or not, whether I think it's a good idea or not, I'm going to do what you say. If we were that obedient, I think amazing things would happen, right? Since you said so, we'll let down. Verse 6, when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat. This is Peter and Andrew. They signaled to James and John, hey, get in your boats and get out of here. We can't pull this thing in. They signaled them to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats start to sink. They got to row into shore before the boats start to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, his reaction, To this amazing catch, to this miracle, to the power and the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus, probably after also hearing a sermon, right? He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. That's his reaction. I'm a sinful man. Now, we have this picture of Peter, this great apostle, right? We'll name hospitals after him and churches and schools and whatever else, right? We've got this amazing picture of Peter, and we read all the awesome things that he did and how bold he was, and we want to be like Peter. Peter, before he encountered Jesus, his own analysis of himself was that he was a sinful man. Now, I don't know how sinful Peter was. Maybe he was just kind of being like, you know, being nice, but I don't think so. You know, I'm not trying to judge anyone, but usually people who work around docks and fishing and all that, you know, they're pretty rough people, right? Peter might have been a pretty rough character. A blue-collar worker that, you know, maybe he had a rough mouth. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he was like. But he says, I shouldn't be in your presence, Jesus. I am a sinful man. And Jesus knows this about Peter, right? And Jesus does not say, you know what, you're right, Peter. I came to the wrong place. I got into the wrong boat. Let me go down the lake a little further down upshore and find someone else. He doesn't say that, does he? He knows how sinful Peter is, and he says, don't be afraid, don't fear, because from now on, you're going to catch people. Right? I know a lot of translations, it's man, but it means it's mankind there. You're going to catch people. You've been catching fish. I don't know how good you are, Peter. You weren't good last night, right? You couldn't catch that many fish. I don't know how good you are at fishing, but you're going to catch people now. Right? You're a fisherman, but now you're fishing for something else. And Peter, he doesn't keep putting up a fight. They get all their stuff. They bring all their stuff up on shore. He, Andrew, James, John, they all leave everything. They leave their livelihood. They leave, you know, their way of making income behind. They leave family behind. And they go and they follow Jesus and they want to learn from Jesus. So that's our first encounter of Peter and some fish, right? It's a lot of fish. He didn't catch them, or, you know, he caught them, but it wasn't his doing. He wasn't able to catch a fish, but when Jesus told him what to do, and he did it, even when he didn't think it was going to work, he caught more fish that he could handle, that he needed help, right? So let's skip ahead. Let's go to John chapter 6 now. Now we have another story that's not really centered on Peter. Andrew's the one that speaks here, but Peter was there, no doubt, and there are some fish there. So let's take a look at it. It's in John chapter 6 is where we'll be. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover feast was near. Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. We don't have enough money to feed these guys, Jesus. There's too many of them. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." Look what he says. "But how far will they go among so many?" All we do have, Jesus, let's take a count. Let's look at what we have. We don't have enough money to buy everyone bread, buy anybody any food. All we have are 5 small barley loaves. This boy had brought them. So pretty much enough to feed a boy, I guess. All right? This was his boy's lunch. Maybe his mom packed for him to go see Jesus. Too small. I don't know how small the fish are. Based on what my kids can eat, my little ones, they probably weren't that big, right? 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But really, Jesus, I mean, how far can they go amongst so many people? And you know how the rest of the story goes, right? Jesus says, go ahead, sit down, divide, sit them all down, divide them up, groups of 50, groups of 100. And he's going to multiply this food, right? He's going to multiply this food. And there's going to be enough for not only everyone to eat, they're actually going to have leftovers. There's going to be enough for them to take with them. Now, here's what I want you to think about. All right. If you read this story in the book of John, you don't get this. But when you read the same story in the other Gospels, what you see is that this happened right after the apostles came back from a mission Jesus sent them on. Jesus sent them on a mission. He said, I want y'all to go to all the nearby towns and villages and teach everyone to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Go and do that. And guess what? He sent them out 2 by 2. He sent them out 2 by 2. So 6 different groups go out and to preach and to teach and they're able to heal and to cast out demons and to do amazing things to let people know it's time to repent for God's kingdom is near. It's coming. He sent them out 2 by 2. Jesus told a parable about a net. The kingdom of God, he said, is like a net and cast out and it's going to catch all kinds of fish. So many fish. And it's not going to be until the end when the fishermen, they start pulling out they throw the hard heads and the other fish that aren't any good to eat. They throw those out and they keep the good ones, right? Peter's a fisherman and now he's fishing for people. His job's not to sort through the fish. His job is to catch the fish. The angels, right? When Jesus returns, the angels will sort the fish out. We don't have to worry about that. Peter didn't have to worry about that, but his job was to go and catch the fish. I don't know if it was a coincidence or not that Jesus sent them out 2 by 2 to go and preach and teach. And I don't know if it's a coincidence. I know that wasn't a coincidence, but I don't know if it's a coincidence that at this moment, when they get back and they're hungry and they're called to feed these people, that all they have are 2 fish. And they're going to have to feed a whole lot of other fish from that. But what's with the 2 fish? Bread. There's bread with the fish. And if you keep reading in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Now, this is Joseph talking here, right? This is not the Bible. I'm going to pull from this. I'm going to make a parable from this story. That if we're called to be fishermen like Peter, if Peter was called to be a fisherman, and people are the fish, Now, what's it going to take? Fish on them, with themselves? It's with Jesus' help. It's with Jesus gives them the power and the ability to go out and to do that they're able to catch more fish. Whether they think it's going to work, whether or not they think it's an idea or a good idea or not, if they do what Jesus says to do, they're able to catch a lot of fish, right? I got another story for you. I don't have it. It's in the Bible. It's John chapter 21. Another story of Peter and some fish. John chapter 21. This is after the death of Jesus on the cross. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. Chapter 21. Verse 1, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which we know is the Sea of Galilee, right? It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, y'all know who those guys are now, right? And two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got to the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. They were fishing on their own again, weren't they? They didn't have any fish. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, they could have said, that's ridiculous. We know what we're doing. We have our own methods of fishing. I've been doing this my entire life this way. I'm not going to take the advice of a stranger on how to do this. But that's not what they said. They said, okay, we'll do. They don't know that it's Jesus. But they say, okay, they trust and they do it. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, most of us, and we interpret this as John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. We've been here before. I remember when this happened a few years ago. This is how we met Jesus, right? This is how he called us. We were obedient and we brought in more fish than we could handle. I've seen how this plays out. This is Jesus. Who else would know where the fish is? It's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they're not far from shore, about 100 yards. I don't even think they could lift it up into the boat, right? They're towing it behind them. When they landed, now here's, to me, I've always wondered about this. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it. Jesus was already making fish on the shore. Where'd he get the fish? Well, it's Jesus. He knows where all the fish are at, right? He knows which fish have money in their mouths too, right? Jesus knows about the fish. Who should we follow? Who should we listen to if we want to catch fish? Jesus, that's the guy you want to go fishing with. He knows where they're at. He knows how to catch them. They pull up on shore. He's got fish already cooking. This is what I love. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't just have fish. I missed this part on purpose. What's he got? And some bread. Not just fish. He's got bread there too. Jesus said to them, verse 10, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Bring some of the fish you have just caught. Why? He already had fish. Did Jesus not catch enough fish for everybody? Did Jesus only have enough fish for himself? Is Jesus not able to catch enough fish that he also needed them to bring their fish in so that they could cook that fish and eat it as well? Have you ever thought about that? Why did Jesus want them to bring their fish with them? And the only thing I can gather from this is that Jesus caught some fish. He caught 12. One of those fish wasn't any good. It got removed. But he caught, so he had some fish, but he wanted more fish, but he wasn't going to go out and catch them. He was going to have those fish that he caught, those fishermen, go out and catch way more fish than he ever caught. They were going to be able to do it with his help, with the bread of life. Was going to give them the ability to go out. Fishing on their own without him was going to be empty-handed, empty nets. But when they fished with Jesus, they were going to catch more than they were capable to even handle. They were going to need help, right? I think this is a beautiful picture of what Jesus allows us to do with him, right? Yeah, maybe he could do whatever he wanted to do, but he allows us to work with him and for him. And but church, we got to see that it's not on our own ability. On our own ability, we're not going to catch anything. We're going to be coming in empty-handed every morning, tired, thinking, when is this going to pay off? But when we trust in Jesus and when we do the things that he says to do and we live the way he says to live, we might do some things that we think aren't going to work. Or things that, you know, that used to work, but now it doesn't. Or something new that we think, that's crazy. Why would we ever try that? But when we do what Jesus says to do, I think we're going to be able, we're going to catch a whole lot of fish. All right? So one more thing I want you to look at here before we close it out. When Peter encountered Jesus the first time and they brought in all that fish, Peter's reaction was, Jesus, get away from me. I am too sinful. I don't deserve to be near you. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful man. Well, here we are in John chapter 21. Jesus has died on the cross. What is hanging over Peter's head this whole time? Denying Jesus three times. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'll never do that. But in fact, that very night, he did deny Jesus and that he knew him three times. And so here we have Peter coming to Jesus because he told him to cast the nets on the other side. And he comes before him and he's got this fish on the grill and he's saying, bring your fish too, man. We're going to eat a lot of fish right here. And he's going to reinstate Peter. He's going to tell Peter, do you love me? Peter's going to say, yes. He's going to say, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you really love me more than you love these others? You know I do. You know everything. You know I love you. Take care of my sheep. He's going to bring Peter back in. Peter was a sinful man when Jesus met him. Peter was still a sinful man who had denied Jesus after Jesus died and resurrected from the cross. But Jesus said, I'm still going to use you, Peter. I'm still going to use you. Because it's not about how good of a fisherman Peter is. It never was. In fact, we never hear about Peter catching any fish except when Jesus tells him to, right? It's not about our own holiness and righteousness or how good we are, or how well I can speak or how charismatic I am or people like to be around me or have the ability to talk to people and bring, you know, tell them the gospel or invite. That's not what it's about. It's not about my own ability. It's whether or not I'm going to have the bread of life with me when I'm reaching out to other people. If I'm going to trust in Jesus' ability to affect people's hearts and change people's minds, because that's where the power is, not in my own ability. In my own ability, there's never any food on the table. There's no fish in the nets. I'm coming up empty-handed, and I'm just cleaning my stuff and trying again tomorrow. That's me. But with Jesus, church, there's nothing that we cannot do. There's nothing that we cannot do when we put him first in all of this. There's a lesson here. All right, and I love these little things. I think there's so much in the Bible that we don't even see or don't even get. Church, we don't tell people about Jesus because we're trying to include them into some club that we think we have, or because it makes us feel better if other people, you know, align their way of thinking with us, or we think we're right, and so people, you know, need to be on our side. It's not like that. It's because without Jesus, there is no hope for anyone. There is no life without him. He gave his life so that we can have life. We tell people about Jesus because we love him and because we love them. It's that simple. It's not our job to even convince people. It's the Holy Spirit who does that, who convinces and convicts. We don't have to do that. We just have to cast nets. Right? That's all we're called to do. It's Jesus who has the power. If there's anything that this church can do for you, if you want to be baptized this morning, if you want to become a member of this body of believers here, if you need the prayers of this church and the elders here, if there's anything that we can do for you, we offer you an invitation now as we stand and sing.
I need thee every hour.